Blog Talk Radio.
The 2013 CONCACAF Gold Cup pregame show.
And yes, everyone, welcome to this special edition of the Four Seas FireNet Soccer Show, CONCACAF Gold Cup pregame show here as the United States are in the quarterfinals as they take on El Salvador from Group B, the USA winning Group C, as they will take on the best third-place side in the Group of B, and that is El Salvador. And joining me, of course, is my good friend Robert Hay, of course, from the United States of Football podcast, and also with Soccer News Day as well. And Robert, we just have to say right now for the United States, this is a matchup where maybe El Salvador has not gotten the job done internationally, but in this tournament, you never know what you're going to get, especially when you're in a knockout stage type of match.
Yeah, Daniel. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. I think you're right. Whenever you have a knockout where it's one and done, I think you're going to have you're going to even out the field a little bit. And you're right, El Salvador has been playing fairly well in this tournament, maybe not as well as they have been overall or as well as their talent would suggest. But, I mean, anytime you have a U.S. team that's playing, even though they're at home against a crowd that's going to be somewhat unfriendly and a one-and-done tournament, where there's the possibility of looking ahead and maybe peeking ahead and trying to see what Mexico is doing, I think you always have to be careful. I think there's enough talent on El Salvador's team that they could make this an interesting game today, and I think it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, same here. I think it's going to be a fantastic afternoon over at a sold-out M&T Bank Stadium, the home of the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens of the National Football League. And this is going to be one heck of a match, especially with a sold-out crowd. It's going to be fantastic, and there's a shot of it right now on Fox National. This match, of course, being played on Fox National, pregame show going on underway. And Robert, I think what we're seeing right now, the way that Jurgen Klinsmann has set up for this group stage and coming into the knockout rounds, obviously, is that it doesn't matter who he's gotten. He's mixed in a couple of A-plus stars for the national team in either past or current World Cup qualifying matches, bringing in a couple of other players that are probably on the fringe of being on that national team level. And he's gotten two solid victories against Belize, Cuba. I think we all knew it was going to be a different challenge when Costa Rica was playing. And just absolutely fantastic stuff seeing from the U.S. as they qualify and win Group C.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what he needed to do with this team in this tournament, is to try and mix in the veterans and some of the younger players. I mean, to be honest with you, the U.S.'s first priority here is qualifying for the World Cup. And this tournament and where the U.S. is standing, it's a nice opportunity to see who some of those fringe players are that might be have the opportunity to go to Brazil with the team and provide some depth, as well as get some of the older guys, some of the more experienced guys who probably will be on that team rounding into form. The guy everybody's going to be talking about, have been talking about, is Landon Donovan, see how he's doing. And so far, so good for him. It looks like he's well on his way to earning his spot back with the U.S. national team. But with the changes that Jurgen Klinsmann made coming into this game, I mean, he's bringing in some veteran guys to replace some of the more fringe players, some guys who we thought were going to get a sniff at getting some playing time. You know, his starting center back pairing is now back on the team here. Piesler and Gonzalez have gotten called up for this round and hopefully going forward, and a couple other guys. So it's interesting. I think he's going a little bit more veteran heavy than I thought he would at this point. I think that suggests to me that he just really wants to win, which is a good thing, but again, you always worry about injuries and overplaying guys and working with guys' confidence. But, you know, I think he wants to go for the win, and I don't think he really trusts some of these guys that that he had brought in initially to test them out for depth to see if they are depth.
Absolutely, and at the moment, the starting lineups have been announced here on CONCACAF's website. The USA, Nick Raimondo in goal. Back line of DeMarcus Beasley, Matt Beasler, Clarence Goodson, Michael Parkhurst in the midfield, Kyle Beckerman, Joe Corona, Mikhail Diskerud, Jose Francisco Torres, and of course up top the striker pairing, Landon Donovan and Chris Wondolowski with an extra W or not. So that's going to be interesting. And as we go with El Salvador, starting 11 in goal will be Dagoberto Gamero, a 4-4-2 as well for El Salvador. Moses Garcia, Jose Henriquez, Marcelo Posadas Galeno, and Victor Turquoise in defense in the midfield. Darwin Serin, Andreas Flores, Richard Menjivar, and William Romero. And the forwards will be Mark Blanco Pineda and Rodolfo Zelaya. So it looks like a pretty solid starting 11 for both sides here, Robert. But more for the U.S., as you said, it's a very veteran-heavy lineup. And I guess the big question is this. Obviously, we all saw what Jack McInerney's been doing with the Philadelphia Union, and right now he hasn't had an opportunity in three Gold Cup group stage matches. Do we see him getting another getting at least an opportunity in a group stage, in a knockout stage match, or do you think he's just going to ride the pine and just go back to Philadelphia unscathed?
For this tournament, I think he's gone back to Philadelphia, and I don't think, unless there's serious injuries and depth depletion, you probably won't see him again. And you know, I think the intent the entire time was to get him in, get him some experience playing with a national team set up and to see how he responds. Personally, I would have liked to have seen him get a little bit more playing time just because, you know, when you play a team like a Cuba who, you know, and some of these other teams in the group stage, you know, you kind of feel like it'd be nice if he got in there and just got his feet wet, you know, got cap. I know he's a U.S. citizen, but, you know, get that cap for playing for the national team. But, with Wondolowski playing the way he is and some of the other strikers ahead of him, I guess that playing time, consistent playing time wasn't there. So why not send him to Philadelphia to continue to, you know, develop at the MLS level and see what happens. So I think it's disappointing that he didn't get in, but maybe that's a positive sign for the U.S.
Probably it is. But once again, this looks like a very full of veterans. Of course, you know, some of these players, like the Marcus Beasley, they're going to go straight into qualifying, back into World Cup qualifying in September when the U.S. travels down to Costa Rica. Like you said, it looks like Landon Donovan's going to make it back to the qualifying rosters. I guess Chris Wondolowski might be one of those fringe players that might be coming off the bench. Don't know if he'll be starting. There's plenty of good starters right now. But I have to say that certain players, I think, when you see people coming off the bench, I think they probably might make the qualifying roster coming off the bench. And for the U.S. coming off the bench, obviously the two keepers, Sean Johnson, Bill Hamid. I think Johnson, great match against Costa Rica. And I think he just, whenever Tim Howard does retire, I think he'll be the second string goalie because I think Brad Guzan is going to be the number one unless Raimondo is considered number two. Defenders are Michael Orozco Fiscal, Edgar Castillo, Tony Beltran, Stuart Holden, and that's nice to see him getting some opportunities. Breck Shea, of course, with that big goal against Costa Rica to win the group. Alejandro Bedoya, your forwards are Eddie Johnson, Alan Gordon, and Will Bruin. And talking about Breck Shea, I think Breck Shea, in certain ways, I think he's improved himself, not so much the physical aspect or how to play the game, but I think the mentality is starting to come back for Breck Shea. Obviously, now you got a new manager over at Stoke, and Jurgen Klinsmann has talked to Mark Hughes, I believe. So to see Breck Shea coming off the bench where I think right now it's best suited for him, he's proven it now with a goal, and I just think he's finally coming around.
Yeah, you know, I'm always hesitant to view a small sample size as being definitive. I mean, one goal does not make a U.S. national or does not a U.S. national team player make, but I think it is a positive for a player that we've been looking for positives for a long time. I mean, I've been on record saying, you know, Breck Shea really needs to spend some time getting himself together, both you know, mentally, professionally, et cetera, before I call him back on this team. It seems like the Gold Cup's been a good opportunity for him to just try and improve his game. You know, he had a very good game in the last one round, like you said, you know, scoring the goal and everything like that. So I think that hopefully it's a good start for him. Hopefully it gets him on the road to being a player that might be considered for the bench. I think at this point he's still an outside shot to make it on the U.S. national team from Brazil. But, you know, if he continues to play well in this Gold Cup, maybe he'll get called up for a qualifier, you know, continues to play a pretty good team game, plays well in England. Yeah, I could see it happening. I mean, I think that he has a chance to improve his stock, but it's up to him to do it. I mean, he plays the position and he has a skill set that this team needs. So if, you know, it doesn't work out for him, he doesn't get called in, then it's entirely on him.
Absolutely. Now let's talk some current news that's been going on. It's going to be interesting what happens today because you really don't want to awaken a sleeping giant or at least give David an opportunity to knock off Goliath and really going after them hard. Jurgen Klinsmann made some news earlier during this week of training before coming down to Baltimore for this quarterfinal. Apparently, certain things he said about not playing against these Central American teams or at least CONCACAF opponents in friendlies. That, and here's the quote right now, when you lose these games, it's, oh, actually, that's actually not the right one, excuse me. But anyway, Jurgen Klinsmann said that he would rather play the Belgians, the Englands, the Germans.
Oh, you actually had
the
right quote up there because it's the one Fox Soccer is using.
Oh, that's the one? Okay, I thought it was the wrong one. That's my bad. But
well,
anyway,
it's either you or Rob Stone is wrong. So I'll side with side with Rob Stone on this one. No offense.
That's fine. No, that's fine. I'll
he has more interns
Rob
than
Stone.
You do.
Yes, it's very true. Wait, you're not my intern? Wait a second here. But anyway,
you pay me too much to be an intern.
That's true. I do. Yeah, I would. But anyway, but as we talk about it, you know, this, you know, he would rather play these top European sides over and over and over than having a friendly against a team like El Salvador. And I'll be honest with you, Robert, I think that's the wrong way to go. I mean, I understand you want to play the best competition in the world in some of these friendly matches, but, you know, we're not in UEFA, we're not in CONMEBOL, we are in CONCACAF. And once in a while, besides playing Mexico and Canada, I think we need to play a friendly against these teams like a Jamaica, like a TNT, like an El Salvador, like a Panama. I mean, because let's be honest, the Central American sides, they're growing, they're improving, they're getting better. And, you know, it's not just in World Cup qualifying you got to face them in an official competition. Even in the Gold Cup, you got to face them in an official competition. So I think that's the wrong way to go. And obviously the head coach of El Salvador, Alberto Castillo Gallardo, he says, you know, we're not going to take the comments seriously. But to be honest, he shouldn't have picked us to make these comments. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, it's a funny situation. And I think anybody who's played Football Manager or who's played FIFA knows that you got to schedule your friendlies carefully because you don't want to play too many really good teams in a row because you have a chance of tiring out your squad and overdoing it and not getting a chance to play against the type of competition that you'll be playing in terms of qualifiers and in your home turf. That being said, you know, you can't fault U.S. soccer for wanting to invite teams like Germany and Belgium over because, I mean, they're moneymakers. You can sell out a BB&T or another stadium like that. I know this isn't a friendly they're playing today, but, you know, it's top of mind. You know, a huge stadium easier with an Italy or a Germany than you would a Jamaica or a Trinidad and Tobago. I think the key is always, you know, moderation and balance. It's great to play these good European teams and play them in huge stadiums and let U.S. fans see the best in the world, but also, you know, every once in a while sneak in some of these other teams. And, you know, they don't have to be CONCACAF teams necessarily. You know, maybe a mid-level South American team, maybe an African team, you know, bring a team from the African Federation over to the U.S. to play. These kind of things, you know, just mix it up. Maybe one day Egypt can come over and play. Touchy subject right there, awkward. But you know,
I'm laughing because it's not because it's a touchy subject because who's managing the Egyptian national
team? Sorry, that's a good point. Because of the managing situation.
Separate the politics from sports, in my opinion.
Yes.
But I'm thinking more about Bob Bradley than I am of the political situation that's over there, the political football that's in Cairo right now.
Yes, I apologize. I didn't make that clear. Yeah, I was thinking more of the Bob Bradley situation than the geopolitical situation. But the point stands, you know, I think it's good to have a diversity of friendlies, some really good teams, some teams that are probably going to be a little bit easier just to get squad depth, some chance to play. I think U.S. Soccer Federation does a pretty good job of that. You know, maybe they should mix it up a little bit more, play a few more CONCACAF teams in friendlies, but I think overall they do a pretty decent job.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not complaining about that. I think CONCACAF does do a very good job when they schedule these friendlies, and you know, once again, we're seeing what's going on in our confederation. It's improving. It's getting better. And, you know, even though it would be nice if we were in UEFA, but we're not. We are in CONCACAF. And the point is that, you know, yeah, you want to face the best teams in the world. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying that maybe once in a while, besides the annual friendly against Mexico, or at least whenever we face them either in World Cup qualifying in the final round or during you know, the Gold Cup tournament, you know, because they always want us to be in the final against Mexico, the powers that be, that is, the head of the confederation. I just think that every once in a while, I mean, look, let's play a friendly in Panama. I mean, it doesn't have to be in the United States. It could be down in Panama. Let's go to the office in Kingston for a friendly. Let's go to San Salvador to play El Salvador in a friendly. Let's go and play some of these countries. If you don't want to play them up here, let's go and play them down there because it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it's probably good also for some of the younger players to get an experience in a non-competitive match to see some of these environments. I mean, you're not always going to get the comfy locker rooms and everything else that they experience when they play here in the U.S. Maybe it's good every once in a while to unsettle them a bit and give them a chance of a hostile crowd. So, no, I agree. I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, you know, then you have better, sharper players that are, you know, when it comes to those World Cup qualifying matches in the semifinal and the final round, then they'll be more prepared. They'll be more ready because, let's be honest, the two times they've faced Jamaica, of course, they went to Jamaica in the semifinal round and lost. And then when they made the return trip in the final round, they won. So at least, you know, they have that previous experience because Jamaica was in the same semifinal group as the U.S. was. So that's all I'm saying. I think, you know, I think Jurgen Klinsmann's done a very good job right now. He's got this team rolling. He's got a couple more games, hopefully, after this one. Hopefully a semifinal trip to Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas, and then hopefully a trip to the final at Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois, and then a friendly against Bosnia-Herzegovina on the road in August in the final August midweek friendly date, and then finish it up in September and October with World Cup qualifying. So Jurgen Klinsmann right now has been doing a fantastic job since, I would have to say, the blow-up after the loss in Honduras.
No, I agree. I mean, basically, he's doing what we asked him to do, which is to win the tournaments that are important, qualify for the World Cup, and so far, so good he's been doing that. I mean, there's been bumps along the way. There's been, you know, reasons of controversy and reasons to disagree with him and to question if he knows overall kind of what his strategy is, but at the end of the day, the results are there so far. So, I mean, the U.S. still has a ways to go. It looks like they're going to qualify for the World Cup. I'm not as big on the Gold Cup as maybe some other people are, so if they don't win this Gold Cup, I don't think it's doom and gloom, but I think locking up, you know, CONCACAF for the World Cup, playing well in the matches in the fall, you know, showing some progress in the friendlies leading up to the World Cup, and then performing in the World Cup, I think is where his ultimately he's going to get graded. So far, so good, but I would I'm curious to see where it goes from here. So kind of excited, which is good.
Oh, same here. But I'll say this: usually, I'm more excited about the Gold Cup after the World Cup. I think that one's the more important one because that has the Confederations Cup spot on the line for CONCACAF. But I also think that even their CONCACAF has made some change. They're going to make some changes now. Because they're going to say is whoever wins a Gold Cup before the World Cup and then the Gold Cup after the World Cup, they're going to have the Gold Cup winners face each other for that Confederations Cup spot. That would be the year before, before I guess Russia comes along so in 2017. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know I can't wait to see the situation happen. And, of course, you know, Robert, you're always trying to make something more entertaining and more fun. Doesn't matter how the product is done or not done. You're trying to make it look a lot better and a lot more entertaining.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I agree. You know, we know Jurgen Klinsmann came in wanting to play a certain style and a certain type of game, and, you know, I think slowly but surely he's realized, you know, that maybe the prettiest soccer isn't always the winning soccer with the U.S. setup, but I think he's molding this team in such a way that, you know, he's not always going to have to rely on gritty, ugly results in order to achieve his goal. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of the pretty, so I'm hoping that that's what it comes down to, or they can get to that point where they can play the pretty.
Oh, absolutely. We'll see what happens here today. Let's talk about the other two quarterfinal games that happened. Of course, Panama destroying the Cubans 6-1. I mean, you know, you knew Panama. It's an up-and-coming side, and they just absolutely destroyed the Cubans 6-1 to advance into the semifinals. And, of course, they're going to face Mexico, and it took them 84 minutes to finally get that first goal and to defeat Trinidad and Tobago 1-0. Question is this. Is Panama going to be considered the favorites against Mexico? And do you think Mexico, even though these are not the guys that are in the qualifying matches, do you think they haven't performed at their top level? Do you think their quality has been very, very suspect?
Mexico, absolutely. I think that, you know, again, one of the big things you need to do in order to turn around, you know, a slide or a losing skid or we're just not playing well is to just get results, I mean, no matter what. I think Mexico's taken the good, for them, first step, which is just getting on the scoreboard and getting some wins. I mean, it's not ugly. It's not pretty. No doubt about that. That game last night was just ugly, ugly game. Against a team that doesn't have as much talent, but at the end of the day, they win in advance. So I think if Mexico were to go on and win the Gold Cup and then, you know, improve their standings in World Cup qualifying, nobody's going to look back on this 1-0 game and go, oh, man, Mexico, they're just playing terribly. It'll just be a blip. So I think if you're, you know, the coaching staff for Mexico and you're sitting there going, all right, you know, this is a turning around. It's slowly but surely we're turning this around. I mean, the fans may not like it. It's not the pretty dominant soccer we expect from Mexico. But you know what? You got to take a first step somehow. You don't immediately go from, you know, ugly losses to dominating wins overnight. You know, you just got to take the step in the process. So if I'm a U.S. fan, I'm a little scared about the fact that, you know, Mexico's starting to get results now. Even though they're, as I said, ugly, they're now starting to win, and that's a scary thing.
Yeah, that's very true, and we'll see what happens during this quarterfinal. Shall I say this semifinals are going to be over in Dallas Cowboys Stadium over in Arlington, Texas. This coming Wednesday night, we'll find out who will be in the final against Chicago. At the same time, which match will be the first one, either the U.S., if they do win today, or Mexico, will they take on the 10 o'clock start time? So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. But other than that, Robert, I think the big thing is this, is that CONCACAF, we talk about CONCACAF and the quality of this confederation. It's always been, if it's not Mexico, well, actually, it's always been if it's Mexico, someone else has to take over as well, or if they're going to have the opportunity. And then all of a sudden the U.S. comes in and starts improving, and, of course, we're getting better. So now it's either Mexico or the U.S. or U.S. or if it's the U.S. or Mexico. But now you're asking the questions of who's going to take that third spot for World Cup qualifying. And I think the Gold Cup has proven, whether it be once every 2 years or if they ever decide to go once every 4 years, who do you think has been, you know, taking advantage of the improvements and possibly taking that third spot in the qualifying cycle?
In terms of just dominant teams, I mean, I think we mentioned Panama. You know, they have the talent there, although I think it's the depth is not as stellar as it probably could be. I mean, when you lose a Blas Perez, somebody like that, that's a worrisome. When you have some of their better players go down, the depth is not as good. You know, I think a Honduras also has to be there. I mean, we've talked about them for a while. They've had a little ups and downs, but I think that's a growing pain with that team. You know, they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of young talent coming up through the system, and they have some players in the right places to win games in CONCACAF, you know, some good midfielders and they give the U.S. and Mexico fits. So I think you've got to talk about Honduras being that third team. And then, you know, there's some other teams that you could talk about being potentially down the line in this conversation. But I think the two closest are Panama and Honduras right now.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. I have to agree with
you
there. And as we're seeing, hey, no, look, I mean, I agree with you. Actually, I think Panama, Honduras right now are those teams that can absolutely find a way to, well, Panama still has a road as a home game against the U.S. Honduras has already done against the U.S. But Honduras, when we get back into World Cup qualifying in September, here's the situation. And I know this is a Gold Cup, but I need to talk about World Cup qualifying just for a bit, because let's be honest here, Robert. If you look at the CONCACAF standings right now, the U.S. and Costa Rica, respectively first and second, are in double-digit points. Mexico is in a situation where you never thought you'd see them in third place. You have them with only one win in Jamaica and five draws, three of them at home, which is really unheard of. They have 8 points. Honduras right now is in the fourth-place position for the playoffs against New Zealand. They have 7. Panama in fifth with 6 points. Jamaica, they only have 2. I know they have 4 matches remaining. They still have an opportunity to get possibly to get a possible 12 points, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're mathematically they're alive, but we all can say they're done. But here's the schedule. Here's the schedule. Mexico is going to host Honduras, and Mexico doesn't look good at the Azteca right now. The U.S. is in Costa Rica. Mexico and the U.S. face each other in Columbus on Tuesday night, September the 10th. Honduras will take on Panama. And here's the question. If Mexico loses their next two games, I'm not saying a draw. I'm saying I have a funny feeling Honduras is going to pull up an upset special. And if Mexico loses the next two games, how fitting, not so much fitting, but how realistic could it be if Mexico does not make it to Brazil at all, regardless of what happens in October?
How realistic is that scenario? I mean, I think the fact that the CONCACAF gets 4 spots, or I guess 3.5 spots, it helps with that. So, you know, I think that there's obviously a chance of them not making it. I think there's just too much talent for them to not make the World Cup. As poorly as they have played in the past and everything like that, and as tough as the schedule is, I mean, you're talking Honduras and the U.S. in Columbus. I mean, that's tough, but there's just too much talent, I think, on this team. And if it takes a managerial shakeup, obviously Mexico is not afraid to do that. So I think that they will qualify. It might not be pretty, especially if they don't carry over their form here in this Gold Cup. But I do think that they will they'll qualify.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, if you're going to watch today's Gold Cup quarterfinal match, it's on Fox National. Check your local listings for the channel. Obviously, right now, the pregame show is going on. Match will start in about 2 minutes as we're going to wrap it up here on the CONCACAF Gold Cup pregame show here on the 40 Cents Fire Internet Soccer Show. Well, Robert, I guess it's prediction time. What do you see the result? Do we see a USA win? Do you think maybe El Salvador will nick them off We'll nick a goal off of them and surprise with a close victory? Do we see extra time? Do we see penalties? What do we see today, Robert?
All right, well, I think there's two things that are going to factor into this match that's going to make it very interesting. The first is the fact that the weather could be ugly up there in Baltimore. In the D.C.-Baltimore corridor, they are calling for the chance of some thunderstorms and rain. So if that were to come into play, then that's obviously going to make things a little bit more of a mess. The second thing is there's going to be a huge El Salvadorian crowd in BB&T Stadium. A little-known fact that the East Coast, especially Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, all have a huge El Salvadorian population. So there will be a loud El Salvadorian crowd in this game. I think that's going to play a factor as well. I think it's going to be a 1-0 game. I think the U.S. is going to win in the 90 minutes. But I think it's going to be tough. I think they're going to have to play hard, play smart, play well. And I think they're going to do just enough to win this game and move on.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for the pregame show. come on over and enjoy everything that's going on, and we'll talk to you soon, and hope everything's fine. I know, well, we're about to close up here, Robert, but I got a friend that probably wants to say something. What do you want, Lee?
Hey, man, just say, great show, man, great show.
Thank you, thank you. Well, go and watch the game and listen to the post-game show afterwards, right?
Yeah, I'll try to jump in on that, put a listen in for you guys. Just want to say, great show, listening to you guys for a bit, and go USA, baby.
Go USA. Okay, that's my friend Lee Robertson from Orlando. That's Robert Hay Jr. On the pregame show. He'll join me on the postgame show. And enjoy the Gold Cup, everyone. Enjoy your football. We'll be back after the final whistle is done. Bye-bye for now.